How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
The Burt Show.
Someone you love has served in the armed forces?
About face.
Tell us about it. Brag on a veteran.
Hello, my name is Courtney Clark, and my veteran is my son, Dylan Ekstrom. He is third generation military. My dad was Navy, I was Marine Corps, and my son is now in the Air Force. But he has gone beyond both me and my father and gone from being an enlisted to becoming an officer in the Air Force. So I just want to give him a shout out and tell him I am so very proud of him.
I am a proud friend of a 23-year Navy veteran, Christopher Jonathan Shortridge, and he has been working hard in Huntington, Indiana, to create a memorial mile as a tourist attraction in our community. He's been raising money for 9 years by doing golf outings and 5Ks and military dinners to try to raise recognition and funding for this project, and I'm so proud of him and his wife because this year they're unveiling the first hopefully many monuments to come. It's a Hiroshima replica in our community and Memorial Garden, Memorial Park in Huntington, Indiana.
I nominate my dad, John Charles Bailey. He worked in the Army and the military in Cuba.
I just want to give a brag on my son who is in the Marines. His name's Reed Kirk, and he was just promoted to sergeant. He was promoted 4 months early, serving the Marines at Cherry Point, North Carolina.
I would like to leave a message for my husband, Kyle Martin. He served 8 years in the Army and is currently enlisted for the Air Force. I just want to thank him for serving for us and protecting us. I love you, Kyle Martin.
To all veterans, thank you so much for your service. Happy Veterans Day from The Burt Show.
Producer Jackson's in here, and he wants to talk about something that's serious. So before we get into the serious, I wanted to ask you something superficial.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because I noticed something earlier, and I didn't bring it up, but since you're back in studio, I have to ask.
I'm scared.
She waits. She waits until you're on mic to tell you that you got a booger.
So I have a question actually for everybody in studio, but it's something I noticed specifically about your phone, okay?
Okay.
Bert, when you tap on your phone, what's the like the lock screen? What's it a picture of?
My new hottie.
Okay.
No.
Mine is a picture of my son.
Mine's a picture of the fam with the kids.
Mo, what's your lock screen a picture of?
The universe.
Of? Just the whole
the world.
The whole world.
Whatever came with the phone.
The default setting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mine is a really adorable picture of my cat.
Got you. Tommy, who's on your lock screen?
Tuffy, the wolf pack.
Okay. Maybe then it's just a guy thing. What is on your lock screen?
Mine is a car.
A car?
Yes.
So I was just curious because I know you and your girlfriend just moved in together. And as I sat here, obviously not focusing on whatever segment we were doing because I was distracted by your car. What car is that?
It's a Porsche 911 GT3.
Neat. Why is it not of your girlfriend?
Well, she actually drew those.
Oh, she drew those?
Yeah.
So he does get some credit.
She drew them.
And Mo's girlfriend took a picture of the universe.
She's an astronaut.
This is where I've taken her.
I can show you the world. Yeah. I was just like in my head thinking like, man, if I just moved in with a guy and he's got a picture of a car as his lock screen and not a picture of us. Because like you have your new lady.
Uh-huh.
And You have the world.
that's what I'm giving her.
I'm a little surprised by Tommy, who has been married to angel for 28 years. She's not on your lock screen.
Yeah, I've been with her 28 years. I know what she looks like.
So am I, like, just, I like to believe I'm somewhat self-aware. I know I'm a needy person, and I know I need, like, unrealistic amounts of validation, which is why I do this for a living. It's really, really unhealthy if you think about it. But yeah, I would feel some sort of way if I had just moved in with my new man and I wasn't his lock screen.
You're trying to get me in trouble.
Yeah, she
100%.
Did. Absolutely did.
But she drew the cars.
Yes,
so.
She did.
Okay.
She also drew the short stick when it comes to boyfriends.
Oh.
You
deserve none of this, bro.
She's
of
only talked like three times this morning. She saved that one for you.
Thanks, Cassie.
All
right, so
Kaylee's wife just texted me. Oh, okay. I knew it. Ask Kaylee what's on his phone. Oh, shoot. Is Kaylee not in there? Because Kaylee's wife literally just texted me and asked what's on his phone.
No,
crap.
He's lucky.
I'm guessing he's like proud of some poop he had 2 weeks ago.
Or that tuck he's got in his garage.
Something like that. All right, so what's going on with your friend? And when you're thinking you have to volunteer that this dude just needs to quit?
I'm trying to convince him to quit his job, and this has been an ongoing conversation. I feel like so many of my friends who have gone into the traditional corporate life.
You want them to be poor like you because you get a Burt Show salary?
Join me. So many of my friends who have joined the corporate world, they always talk about quitting, but none of them actually follow through with it. And like a lot of them are, you know, semi-happy with where they are. So a lot of them have just been sticking it out. And one of my buddies, like one of my best friends from college, is in this same boat, except it's kind of gotten to an extreme point now where I really feel like it's time for him to quit. So for a little bit of background, he is a consultant. And so when you're a consultant, you actually travel a lot for work. Okay. And so a few years ago, he moved to New York, and every week, every Monday morning, he flies out to Houston, where his current client is, and he flies out there, works there from Monday through Thursday, and then Thursday or Friday morning, he flies home, works from home on Fridays. So this is an every week occurrence, so traveling a lot every single week, right? And at first, it's fun and it's exciting. You're, you know, building up all these sky miles, you're getting all the hotel points, you're getting all these benefits from it, but obviously that would take a toll on you. And so recently, he called me about a month ago telling me that it was like a Monday morning and he had a full-blown panic attack while just sitting in the office, and it came completely out of nowhere. And he's not super familiar with these. I've had my experience with panic attacks in the past, so I kind of walked him through it. And it was bad enough to the point where instead of flying back to New York, he flew back to Atlanta to just go home and like be with his parents for a week. And I was like, all right, well, that's obviously a red flag. But so I'm telling him, like, have you considered quitting? Have you considered moving around? And he's like, no, like, you know, I'm just waiting for this next promotion. And then like I'll think of something else. Then a week ago, he gives me another call. He was mid-presentation and another panic attack came on, and he literally had to excuse himself from the room and then also flew home that time. And so that to me is the final straw, right? And so I had a long conversation with him about like what his plan is, and it just feels like the company is dangling the carrot in front of him just enough to keep him on. And I feel like there's never going to be a time where he just pulls the trigger and commits to quitting.
Is the panic attacks and anxiety attacks attributed to work, or is it attributed to travel? Because for my brother, he can't fly anymore because he flew so much in the military. He felt like he used all his luck and that the next flight was going to be the one.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that's why he was like, because he did, they, obviously, there was multiple deployments and a lot of travel and a lot of flying, that he got to the point where he's like, I can't fly anymore because I felt like I've used all my flight luck.
Was he getting shot at in the air while he was taking a Delta flight to like California or something?
Quite
No, but I'm saying like when you get on a plane, his mentality was like, they haven't gone down yet, but this one is.
Right. Yeah, his is career-based?
His is career-based. Okay. Like, the job is super stressful. There's a lot of pressure on him. And then, you know, when he flies home, he's living in New York City in Manhattan. And so, like, all of his friends who haven't seen him all week want to go hang out. So we'll go on, like, a three-day bender. And then, you know, fast forward back to Monday at 4:30 in the morning, he's waking up, catching a flight, and doing it all over again.
For me, You know, this is such a tragedy, and I see it so often, and you can look at the statistics also, and there was an actor that came out this morning also that said he regrets what he did with his career. It's the dude from Sex and the City.
Chris Noth?
Nah, the other one that she used to date.
Oh, Aiden Shaw.
Yeah.
That's not his real name. John Corbett.
Yes. So he came out this morning saying that he regrets his entire career. He chose the wrong path in his career. And as I read that this morning, and I see so many people that are unhappy with their careers that stay in it because they either have golden handcuffs or they're just too afraid to make a really hard decision and make a change, that when you look back at your life and you're like, what did I do with it? And if you're not happy at work, right, which just let's say mathematically, 8 hours a day. That's one third of your life, man. If that sucks, the other two thirds are going to be affected by that. And I see way too many people, and I'm older than you, and I'm older than your friend also probably. Way too many people my age have been looking back at their lives just going, what did I do? I should have made the change earlier. And because they didn't, their career that they didn't like in their 20s ended up a career they didn't like in their 30s, and more money was thrown at them in their 40s, and they were never happy. It's a tragedy to me.
I completely agree. And my first job out of college was being an investment banker. And so I was putting in 12 to 15, 16 hour days every single day. And so I've seen the side of it where the money is, you know, there, and it's so lucrative and everyone's congratulating you on these prestigious things that you're doing. But I was so completely miserable during it to the point where I quit without having anything lined up afterwards because I was so unhappy with it. And so he's kind of freaking out about this whole thing. And then his bonus is tied to his utilization. So I'm telling him to just take a step back from the client maybe and taking a break. But then he's like, he's on track to make, you know, a mid five figure bonus this year, but he won't get that if he takes a break and, you know, and pumps the breaks right now.
Here, you know, I've said this a million times on the show, and in my experience, you always end up returning back to yourself, right? So this dude is lying to himself that he enjoys this job, or he thinks that it's some kind of phase. His authentic self is a guy that doesn't like doing this. So he can wait a week, he can wait a month, he can wait a year, he can wait two decades, but at some point or another, he's going to return back to his authentic self and try to find happiness.
I couldn't agree more. And sometimes I feel like he would actually be better off if things were actually worse for him, because then he would just get up and leave. But right now, they're just bad enough, right. You know?
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So how do single dads with daughters deal with having their daughters' friends come over if there are no adult women in the home? Which is something I, not being a dad, has never had to think about or even considered.
But I do wonder, after hearing two of my friends who are both single dads have this conversation, how other dads handle this situation, or how moms feel like dads should handle this situation. So he was expressing to my other friend that his daughter sometimes gets frustrated with coming over to see him because he splits the time with his daughter with his child's mother. And he found out that the reason that she gets frustrated sometimes when she comes over to hang out with dad on the weekends is because she wants her friends. She wants her friends from school to be able to come over and spend time with her. But my friend is like, he has this strict rule that he learned from someone else on that he just doesn't ever feel comfortable as a dad if his daughter is going to bring over other young ladies to the house if there's no adult woman there to supervise the situation. And so my other friend asked him, why not? Like, what's really the difference as if you were a single mom or a single dad in this area? And he was honest with him, and he told him, to be honest, there's two reasons. One, if it's my daughter and my daughter is going over to her friend's home and the friend only has a dad in the house, he said he wouldn't feel the most comfortable with his daughter being in that environment. So he doesn't want to put another man's daughter in the same situation.
Because you don't know the dad well enough, and you don't know what inappropriate thing might happen? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, he doesn't necessarily believe that anything inappropriate would happen.
But God forbid if it did.
Right.
That's slim. Like, it's not like I 99% think something bad's going to happen, but that 1% that something could go awry, you would never be able to forgive yourself.
And don't the statistics show that in those kind of cases that it mostly happens with either family members or somebody close to the family?
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah. And so obviously you hear the war stories and he does not believe something would ever happen. But God forbid if something were to happen, he'd really have no defense in the situation because there's no one else there to speak to what happened or what didn't happen. So in his mind, he doesn't even want to put himself in a situation where that can happen, but obviously it's coming in between the quality of life that his daughter has when she comes over to visit him.
Well, I mean, quite honestly, I mean, it can happen if he has son's friends that come over also.
Mm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
He could.
Because men will do unspeakable things to other boys.
Absolutely. I guess in his mind, the dynamic is just different. It's just different. Because I don't think anybody would think of this when it comes to a single mom, right? If you have a son or a daughter and they have friends of the same sex over with, I don't think that would even cross anyone's mind.
Right, you really don't, right? I mean, it happens.
But is that because men are primarily the perpetrators of something like that?
Probably so. And so,
just from a statistical standpoint.
Right. So his friend understood where he was coming from. And as a man, I did too. Like, I could understand, like, even when he goes and he picks up his daughter from school, sometime he'll rotate with other parents and bring home one of her friends. But even then, like, he always makes sure that there's a woman there who sees the interaction, sees her get in the car, then he drives her to her mom. But he's just very conscious of this, of that situation. And I just wonder how other dads deal with that, because I never thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, because this is well known as far, I at least I feel it is in the mommy world, that you tell your child if they ever get lost in public, find another mommy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Not find a man, find another mommy, because you feel like a woman's going to be a safer space or a safer place.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Female friend spend the night? Somebody his age to over? I don't know. I've never even thought about it before.
I haven't either. And maybe when he does meet a woman that he's consistently with, it'll be able to, like, fix that problem on its own type thing. But in the meantime, I'm not sure how he could really fix that. Because as moms, would y'all feel comfortable with your daughter going over to play with her friend at a man's home if it's just a dad in the home?
Well, see, what's crazy is this is the first time I've ever thought about it. I have a son, and now looking back, growing up, like, when I spent the night, and I mean, I was all about slumber parties. Like, my friend Michelle and Amanda would spend the night at their house all the time. I never spent the night at another person's house where it was like a single dad. Mm. It was always a parental unit. So there was a mom and a dad. So as unfortunate as, like, it pains me to say this, but I get it. I think he's being smart.
I do too. If I know the dad for, like, long time, I'd be fine with it. But if it's like a new friend, no. But my kids are also not going to do sleepovers at all, whether it's a mom or a dad at the house.
You will absolutely refuse to let them spend the night at somebody else's house?
Yeah, because you can't control who else is coming in the house. Hmm. And that's the thing. They can stay late. They can go to the parties and I'll pick them up, but they're not spending the night.
It's a Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I always forget that saying that your grandmother told you, Mo, about finding trouble.
You go knocking on the devil's door, eventually he gonna answer.
There it is.
Knock, knock.
I think we might have a case of that here, because once you start going through somebody else's phone, man, you sneak in and you start looking at somebody's phone, you're gonna find something.
You're gonna find something, and it's never gonna be anything good.
And Marina did just that on her boyfriend's phone and predictably found something that she didn't like, and she wanted answers that we got for her. Hey, Marina.
Hey, so I made a mistake, and I was kind of asking for it because I got the urge to look through my boyfriend's phone. And I mean, we've only been dating for a little over a month, and he's never given me a reason to doubt him or think he's doing anything wrong.
Yeah, he's been good for 30 whole days. It's longer than some people get, Kristen.
But recently he gave me the passcode to his phone so I could order food while I was over at his place. Uh-huh. And ever since, his phone has just, like, been sitting there mocking me, you know? So
Before we even judge you, hold on a second. Before we even judge you for going through the phone, let me put you guys through the same drill here. You're going out with somebody. They give you their passcode just to order food. But there it is, right? Just laying there. And it starts speaking to you like, use that passcode. Let's check it out. Do you do that or not?
For me, I have never gone through a man's phone before. That is something I hang a lot of pride on. I have never gone through a man's phone. I've never looked through it. Have I asked? Absolutely. They said no, obviously. But for me, like, if you have a reason to not trust somebody, like if your gut is telling you something, to me, you don't really need to go through the phone. That should just be your signal to get out. That person's not right for you.
I mean, don't ask me. Of course I have.
Okay. I'm not going through a phone. Never. In fact, you giving me the password would make me secure enough to not even feel the need to do it.
I'm with Mom. 100%.
Or maybe that's a tactic.
It might be.
Okay. Hiding out in the open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go on, Marina. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So, a couple of days ago when he was in the shower, I grabbed it and I just started looking through it.
Yeah, you did.
And honestly, I found nothing, like absolutely nothing shady from him. I mean, he's not texting anybody suspicious. He doesn't have any like dating apps on his phone or anything. And even his Instagram explore page is like super wholesome. It's like full of science memes and National Geographic stuff.
Yeah, let me explore everything.
Yeah, she did. And let me tell you what he did. As soon as he got a girlfriend, he went to his For You page and he deleted all the naughty
yes,
pictures.
Yes, he did.
But then I went back to his messages and I saw the last exchange he had and in his group chat with his best friends. I guess, you know, guy friends don't really text a ton because the last text from them was from the previous Friday when we had all made plans to go out. And at first it read like a normal conversation, just planning where they were going and what time. But then my boyfriend had texted, by the way, I'm bringing Marina. And one of his friends gave the text a thumbs down. And his best friend replied, yay, with a smiling emoji, but it was the upside down smiling emoji.
Sarcasm.
Yeah. So immediately I thought the vibes were off, you know, obviously. And I was shocked because I had never felt anything but welcome from his friends.
Well, so maybe they just wanted a bros night,
yeah,
Marina.
Yeah,
and they were bummed that a lady was going to be tagging along and it has nothing to do with you as a person.
Yeah, that can mean a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, so I was thinking, like, am I overreacting, just like you said, because I really feel like his, you know, like, this reads like his friends don't like me, you know, I don't know, like, just that just gives me, that doesn't feel good, you know, either way. So I asked him about it, and I obviously didn't tell him that I had stalked his phone, but I framed it that I had gotten, like, weird vibes from his friends when we had hung out, and I just asked him point blank whether they liked me or not. And he told me I was being silly, of course, that they liked me. And he asked me to bring up anything specific that made me feel like they didn't like me. And, of course, I couldn't because I had found it because I had stalked his phone. But it still was just bugging me, and I can't get it out of my mind. And I just want to know how they really feel about me because they're my boyfriend's best friends.
Okay.
If they don't like me, then that's like a real problem for a relationship.
You're asking for so much trouble.
Here we are. The whole overthinking thing we've been talking about the last couple of days.
Yep.
Okay. So behind the scenes, you reached out to Katie, who is playing the part of Tommy this week, correct?
Yes. Yes. I gave, you know, the number of my boyfriend's best friend to Katie to see if she could get a real answer from him.
Okay, that's a problem right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're creating a problem where I really feel like there isn't one.
Katie, did you get in touch with the best friend?
Oh, indeed I did.
Okay. All right, so
she's
let's stop
really
right
embracing
there.
Her inner Tommy.
Okay.
You got a honey bun back there, too?
Little mountain to do.
All right, so before we even get it, you've already put yourself in a very disadvantageous...
Disadvantage?
No.
No?
Disadvantageous.
Thank you.
Oh, that one.
Unadvantageous. I just made it worse.
You guys kind of get it.
Bad.
Right. because here the relationship is so new, and now you're reaching out to the best friend. The dude that you're seeing with is going to see this as sketch.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to recover from that.
It's already done, though.
Like, girl, you put your crazy crown on 30 days in, not 90 days in.
Yeah, way too soon. Okay. All right. So,
but we love you. Thanks for reaching out. we loved your crazy.
Yeah.
He probably won't.
You know?
Because you know the best friend is going to go right to the boyfriend and go, dude, crazy Marina, what is this all about?
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So we're already at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, tell us what happened.
All right. Well, I reached out to Caleb. And I gave him the quick rundown. My name's Katie. I'm producer for The Bird Show. I'm not sure if you've heard us before, but we have a segment called Closure Call where listeners reach out to us, see if we help them closure certain situations with their lives. He quickly responded back, "Hey, Katie, of course I know The Bird Show." And then he was like, "Is this real?"
Hey, he sounds like a good guy, this Caleb.
Right.
He's listening to The Bird Show. He's all right with us.
And so I'm like, "Of course, this is real. We've been talking to one of our listeners whose name is Marina. Do you happen to know a Marina?" And I waited. And waited and waited. And he took a very long time.
Yeah, because he was hitting his best friend.
Exactly.
Right. He was hitting Marina's boyfriend.
Bingo.
Uh huh.
So after a while, he finally responds back, "Yes, period." And so I'm like, "Okay, awesome. She's your friend's girlfriend, right? Because I want to make sure we talk about the same Marina." And he responds back, "Yes, period."
Man, a few words.
Keeping it short.
So I say, "Okay, great. So this is a little awkward, though. She reached out to us because she wants to make sure that she has a good relationship with her boyfriend's friends, and she's concerned that that's not the case. Would you say that you are friendly with her?"
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
You're so buried. Oh, you're so buried at this point. Bad. Okay.
And he responds, "You've got to be kidding me."
No.
There it is.
Yeah, this is awkward.
So I'm like, "What makes you say that?" And he says, "She reached out to a radio show." And I'm like, "She sure did." And he responds, "That's classic." And I'm like, "Do you care to explain?" And he's like, "So if I'm reading between the lines, she thinks I don't like her." And I'm like, "Not you, but she wants to see how all of his good friends feel about her."
Oh, no.
And he's like, "Well, she's right."
Uh-uh.
I'm like, "Okay, go on." He says, "I mean, this is like a textbook example of why we can't stand her."
Oh,
oh, that's harsh.
"She can't communicate like an adult.
Uh-oh.
Instead of talking to her boyfriend or actually trying to be cool with us, she runs into complete strangers. It's weird. We gave her a chance, but we can't take how she treats," insert boyfriend's name here. So I respond, "What is it that she does that bothers you?" He responded, "Since the day they started dating, she's always been paranoid. We haven't been able to hang out with him one-on-one in forever. She doesn't let him go out alone. From what he tells us, she's always thinking that he's cheating on her. And they've been only dating for a month." And I respond back, "It sounds like you're not a fan."
Sharp.
Very good observation.
Yeah,
you are sharp.
Sharp.
Yeah.
And he says, no, S. And go ahead and tell her from me that this didn't help. And I just simply responded with a, "Well, thank you for being so candid."
Oh, my gosh.
Marina, you're done.
It's a wrap.
you can't return to Pride Rock. you don't think?
Yeah, I'm trying to be sensitive here because I know in those early stages of dating when you really like someone, you just want everything to go well. And I feel like the crazy switch flipped a little too hard this time and I feel like it might be the end.
Marina,
are you bringing baggage into relationships? I mean, have you been cheated on in the past?
You know, I don't know why he's saying that to his friends. I don't feel like I've been super paranoid with him. I don't know. Like you said, it's the early stages of this relationship and you don't want to waste your time. So I just want to make sure everything is good. Like there's not huge red flags or something, I don't want this to be a struggle forever. So it was probably honestly, it was a mistake. And yeah, I probably seem a little crazy. Man,
yeah,
that sucks.
Okay, I'm just gonna be real with you.
How do we fix this?
You're the red flag.
I was about to say, if he did this to her, we would be calling him the red flag.
You're absolutely the red flag.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, if this was me, how I would recover from this, especially you going to the friends. Yeah, there's no, I don't know.
Maybe, I'm sure Caleb has already said something to your boyfriend, but maybe if you prove that you can communicate like an adult and go to your boyfriend and say, "Listen, I did something this kind of crazy.
I'm really insecure in this relationship. I care about you a lot. So I did something a little wild. And you communicate that you recognize that what you did was a little out there. And maybe he'll appreciate that honesty. And maybe you can recover from this.
I mean, it's a long shot. But I do think that's your only play. Mm-hmm. You just got to be honest and tell him that you really like him. You were concerned with the relationship not going the way you think it's going and wasting time. And you made a mistake and you did something you shouldn't have.
Girl, you got to fall on that crazy sword right now. And just like take accountability that you're paranoia. But this is something that you're working on and that you want to be a better person and a better partner. And hopefully he can forgive you.
Okay, Marina. Good luck with that one.
I believe in you.
Thanks. Thank you.
That makes one of us.
Yes, see, for me, man, I mean, it never gets any better than it does the first 30 or 60 days of a relationship. That's when you got your, like, fake face on. She's already showing that. My fake face is crazy. What do you think a real face is going to look like in 90 days? This thing's done, man.
Well, if she's already at rock bottom, the only place to go is up, question mark? Or, you know, where she's going to dig in.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Someone you love has served in the armed forces? Tell us about it. Brag on a veteran.
Hi, I would like to nominate Eric Gunasau. He is a staff sergeant in the Army National Guard. He's been serving for 13 years. He's been stationed overseas the past 10 months in the war in Israel and Iran. Recently moved to Kuwait for his station. Today is the 8th of November. In the past week, he was struck by a drone strike from Iran. He has suffered some injuries in one of his legs. He's scheduled to come home to the United States on November 23rd. He's got to go through some processing and evaluation, finally to come home into Georgia December 10th. I'm nominating him for his bravery in serving our country and putting his life on the line.
Hi, this is Keon from Atlanta, and I wanted to give a happy Veterans Day and a huge shout-out to my uncle, Ernest Baker. He is one of the last out of 16 million people who fought in World War II. He's one of the last few remaining. I think it's like 100,000 left, but he's 101, about to be 102 years old, World War II veteran. Happy Veterans Day to you, Uncle Ernest, and to all the other veterans out there. Thank you.
Hey, my name is Kristen Head, and I'm calling to recognize my dad, Staff Sergeant First Class Daniel Bulla. He is the most amazing father and has sacrificed so much for our country. He's been on multiple deployments. He has lived in different states away from his family for periods of time throughout my whole life. He does everything he can and more for all of us, and now his two precious grandbabies, and I could not be more proud of him, and he will be today and every day my hero, and I just want to honor him on this day and make sure he knows how much he is loved, and we see you and the sacrifices you make every day, Dad. I love you so much.
My name is Tori, and I want to brag on my dad, Mark. He was in the Army back in the 80s and early 90s, and he is the last one to ever take credit for anything, especially in serving our country. He tells people that it was an honor to do so. And, Dad, today I just wanted to say that it's an honor to be your daughter. I love you so much. You are the best dad, and you are the best grandfather and the best husband to my mom. I just love you. We all do. Thank you so much.
To all veterans, thank you so much for your service. Happy Veterans Day from The Burt Show.
I think I'm having a bit of a crisis with toxic masculinity this morning. As I told you guys on Friday that I was going to go and I was going to take shooting lessons before I purchased my first gun. Had an incident happen last weekend that jarred me and my family enough to where I thought, look, I've been having this internal debate now for over a decade. Should I get a gun? I'm not going to get a gun. I'm going to get a gun. I'm not going to get a gun. And this was the one that just, it was the tipping point. And as soon as it happened, I immediately ran out to the gun range and went to go get a gun as it happened. And then when I settled down, by the time I got there, the dudes are like, all right, calm down, bro. All right, calm down. Why don't you take a lesson? And I'm like, hey, that seems like a pretty good idea. So I waited a week, and then my girlfriend Amanda and I went and we took our lesson this Friday, right?
So I've never gone through the process. So anybody can go purchase a gun and you don't have to take a lesson.
So let me get to that in a second, because some of these questions I still can't answer.
Got it.
So here's my toxic masculinity here is that, so I grew up in San Diego where guns in the part of San Diego that I grew up in just weren't part of the culture. Now, I live in the South now. We all live in the South now. And it's just much more common to shoot a gun when you are younger or be part of a family that has shot guns for generations and generations and generations. I believe, Kristen, your brother is, he shoots a gun. He is comfortable with that.
Yeah, well, that's not how we were raised, though. He joined the military. Mm-hmm. So that's why he has a vast knowledge of artillery.
Mm-hmm. And in the South, it's just way more common, really way more common. So I'm a little bit hesitant on being real with you guys and saying that I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy the entire experience all that much. I take it very, very seriously. When you are looking at taking somebody's life, that is something that you really got to think about quite a bit. And I talked about this on Friday. So I wasn't really looking forward to the lesson. I got a whole bunch of DMs from people saying that you're going to absolutely love it, right? I didn't love it. I went there on Friday, and Amanda and I sat down with an amazing instructor. And I will plug the instructor. It's the Red Letter Project, and she was so good, so good. Taught us how to handle the gun, but even the first time I picked the thing up, I felt like a heaviness to it, not like the weight of the gun, but the weight of having a gun. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So even as I picked it up for the first time, I realized, like, you have the power to take somebody's life with this thing, you know? And you can also hear people at the gun range, as I said on Friday, you can hear the sounds of guns going off all the time. And it's a little bit jarring for me. Amanda was much more calm about it because she shot guns her entire life. But for me, and again, the toxic masculinity here is I hear my dad in my head right now saying, stop being a wuss. You know, it's just a gun. It wasn't loaded. It's just a gun. Go to the range and have yourself a good time. But the truth of the matter is I had some feelings about it. I was nervous going up there. I was nervous during the instruction. When we finally got into the range, I get really quiet when I'm nervous and I'm very focused. I got very quiet. I was struggling putting the bullets in the gun, even holding the bullet to put it in the gun. I could see my hands were shaking a little bit, and I'm not doing anything except hitting a piece of paper that's in front of me. But you also had a Sandy Springs police officer right next to me, and I don't know who that was, but you do not want to get in his way. I'll tell you.
He don't miss.
He didn't hit anything from the shoulders down. I'll tell you that. And then there was a guy that was like two bays over that had this thunderous AK something something that was kind of inappropriate to have in the range. And I only know that because my instructor was annoyed. She's like, oh, I hate that. They should be outside. And there's no way that they should be inside. But every time I went to go to shoot my handheld, I could hear that thing thundering, and it was shaking me up a little bit. So I put the thing in my hands, took the instruction, and it took me probably 3/4 of the lesson to finally calm down, and I felt myself starting to get competitive with myself, but also getting competitive with Amanda.
Shocker.
And focusing more, but there was no part of it where I truly thought, like, okay, this is the enjoyment that our listeners were telling me that I was going to have in the DMs. There was none of that.
Like an adrenaline rush or an endorphin rush.
None.
I feel like it makes sense though, right? Because I know when my dad first started to train us, it was like, that was big with him. Like, this isn't party time. Like, don't take it like that. I'm teaching you something that's, you know, you should have to be responsible for. So I feel like you should have that feeling of understanding how powerful a weapon is and when it's in your hands. And yeah, like that's, you should feel that way. If you feel like, whoa, and start getting crazy, then something's wrong, you know. But I think you're connecting, like, using the weapon and then going into what if I have to use it for bad, as opposed to just kind of learning the weapon and just learning the mechanisms of having a gun. But you're connecting that to, like, what if I have to use it? And you'll never enjoy it that way.
That's hard to do, though, because that's the only time I'm ever going to take this gun out,
right,
is to obviously take lessons and shoot and get better at it. And if somebody breaks into my house. So it's hard not to have that in my head.
I get that.
You know?
All right. So with a quick Google search and from a reputable website, 9 states, you have to have training.
Yeah.
The rest you don't.
The
And the one we're in, Georgia, you do not.
You have to have training?
You do not.
You do not in Georgia.
You can just buy a gun.
Yeah, I think I knew that because I think I asked my instructor, do people just come in here and without any kind of lessons at all and just walk out of here with a gun? And she said, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really?
That's normal.
And then I started getting DMs from people saying that they bought guns, put them in their house, never ever used it, and then got rid of the gun when they started thinking that, I don't even know how to use this thing. Look, there was just a piece of paper in front of me, and I was shaking the first couple of times. So you asked me on Friday, am I purchasing a gun when I go and I get my lesson? And I said to you, without a doubt, for sure, I did not get a gun on Friday.
Really?
Well, you didn't.
No, I'm not ready for it.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to take two or three more lessons. And when my instructor says, okay, you're not shaking nearly as much now, then I'll go ahead and I'll get a gun. But I did not get it on Friday.
Yeah, you need to, we don't need a chihuahua holding a gun.
Right. I'm more nervous about shooting myself in the knee than anything else right now.
Can I just say, I think it's so refreshing to hear this being talked about responsibly, because I think a lot of people just want responsible gun owners. And so for you to come on here and be like, I want a gun to protect my family. I took lessons and I realized I'm not quite ready to handle a weapon that can take someone's life just yet. I need more training. It's so refreshing to hear.
Thanks. I do feel this toxicity saying like, hey, get the thing, put it in your house. There are so many people that are so enthusiastic about them, especially where we live. I felt like this pressure to enjoy it and to rush myself into a purchase. And when push came to shove, I'm like, this is too serious to have ego behind.
I'm here to tell you right now, this conversation and that decision makes you more of a man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I would agree.
Just the maturity and the emotional intelligence and not letting toxic masculinity, I can't even say it.
me neither today.
Yeah. take over. I sincerely think this makes you more of a man.
I appreciate that. And that is the only time today I'll be called a man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
The Burt Show.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.